In the last three Bible stories, Uncle Dan has brought us stories about the boy Samuel, who became a priest and prophet of Israel.
Yes, Aunt Sue, and today we continue this wonderful Bible story with a very interesting development. And again, our story can be found in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel, chapters 8 and 9, and the first 11 verses of chapter 10, a story which I call
The Tall, Strong, and Handsome Young Man.
And the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty voice that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were routed before Israel. So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. And all Israel knew that the Lord had saved them because they had confessed their sins. It was Samuel who had called the people to repentance. He was the connecting link between God and his people. He also judged Israel all the days of his life. Now when Samuel became old, he called his two sons to him and said,
Sons, ever since the incident at Mizpah many years ago, I have been the judge of Israel. Over the years, I have traveled regularly to different parts of Israel and judged the people. But now I'm getting old, so I have decided to make you two my assistants.
Judges? You're going to make us judges?
No, that would have to be done by a vote of the people. But I can make you my helpers, my lieutenants. You could be good judges. You have been trained to love and honor the God of Israel and obey his laws. You have been with me many times as I listened to both sides of a dispute and gave judgment that was fair, honest, and just. Would you do the same?
Of course, Father.
We'll do our best.
Remember this, my sons. God is the true ruler of Israel. As judge, I am merely God's representative. You, as my assistants, are also only instruments in his hands. I think I'll send you to Beersheba. Set up an official court and judge the people there. You, Joel.
Well, Brother Abiah, finally we're going to be somebody. Just think, we, you and I, will hold in the palm of our hand the control of southern Palestine. We can even dictate to the people on almost everything.
I perceive, Brother Joel, that you have ambitions.
Perhaps. We shall see when we're established as judges.
Your ambitions, money-wise or otherwise?
As I said, we shall see.
But the sons of Samuel, acting as judges in Beersheba, did not walk in the ways of their father, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Then some of the elders gathered together and said,
Fellow Israelites, we are here to discuss a very serious matter. We are all well acquainted with the wicked and unjust practices of these men. We must discuss here today what must be done about them.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes?
We need a strong central government for the whole land. I call attention to the fact that almost everyone in Israel, I mean all Israel, not just here in Beersheba, but in all 12 of the tribes, we, the people, want a king to rule over us.
Yes, we do.
The actions of Joel and Abiah would give us the necessary excuse to go to Samuel and demand a king.
Think you not, my fellow elders, that if we were to go to Samuel and tell him the truth about his sons, that he would remove them immediately from authority? I am sure that Samuel knows nothing about the way his two sons administer injustice and are spreading discontent among the Israelites.
What you say is true, but have we not wanted a king to rule over us, as do all the other nations about us? Well, this is our opportunity. Let's grasp it while we can. Samuel will dare not refuse us a king.
Has not Samuel ruled Israel with wisdom and justice?
That is not the point. Samuel himself is a good man, yes, but he is not the true ruler of Israel, and you know it. Behind Samuel is God, and every time we disobey God, we are punished by losing a war with some country or having a famine or some other calamity. I say, all Israel says, let us have a king. Then our troubles will be over. We can govern ourselves and be rid of these constant periods of punishment.
Are we all of one opinion about this?
Yes.
To achieve our goal, we must send messengers to all of the tribes calling a meeting of the elders. We will draw up plans and send a delegation to Samuel demanding a king. Are we agreed on this?
We are agreed.
Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah.
Well, well, quite a delegation of Israel's august elders. And you have come all the way to Ramah to see me. It must be a very important mission. Whatever it is, be not afraid to state your grievance, if it be a grievance, or a request, if a request it be.
Samuel, your honor, you have served Israel faithfully for many years. Your administration has been honest, sincere, and wise. Yet you are, pardon the reference, your grace, but you are getting rather old and you're...
You need not hesitate to call me old. My time, my duties, my sojourn here upon earth are drawing near an end.
Well, your grace, that's not exactly the point. Rather, it is your sons.
My sons?
Yes, your grace.
Well, what about them?
Well, your grace, your sons, they walk not in the paths of righteousness, as we are sure you taught them to walk, and as you yourself walk.
Are you trying to tell me that my sons judge the people of Beersheba unjustly?
It pains us to tell you this, Samuel, your honor, but your sons take bribes. They pervert judgment and seek to enrich themselves at the bars of their court.
I was not aware of these things. Why did not someone report this to me sooner? I shall, of course, remove them from office immediately.
You can do with your sons as you deem best. But this is not the purpose of our mission. Samuel, your grace, we want a king to rule over us.
A king?
Yes, your grace. We want to be like other nations.
Well, perhaps it would be best for you gentlemen to remain overnight. I will give you an answer in the morning after I have taken the matter before God in prayer.
As you wish, your honor.
O Lord, God of Abraham and Isaac, God of love and mercy, hear me now as I plead for help in this my hour of great need. O God, thou knowest that I have lived a long life. As a child, I was dedicated to work for thee. I have tried with thy constant help and guidance to faithfully serve thy people as judge, prophet, and priest. But they have turned against me, O Lord. They complain of my work. They are dissatisfied with me, but I have tried, O Lord, thou knowest. They want to get rid of me after all these years of love and service that I have given them.
Hearken to the voice of the people in all that they say unto you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. According to all the deeds which they have done to me, from the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so are they also doing to you. Now then, hearken to their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them.
So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking a king from him.
You ask for a king to rule over you. You shall have one.
God gave his permission?
God granted your request for a king, yes. But it is not his wish for you to have a king.
Then why did he grant the request? Surely God does not answer prayer that is not in accordance with his will.
God forces no one to do his will. Men have a choice. When they choose in opposition to his will, God often grants the requests in order that through the bitter experience that follows, they may be led to realize their folly and repent their sins.
Are you saying that by choosing a king to rule over us, it will bring a curse unto us rather than a blessing?
The Lord instructed me to solemnly warn you what manner of king shall reign over you.
We'll elect a good king. No evil will result, only good.
Listen to me, elders of Israel. A king will imitate the pomp and luxury of other monarchs.
That is just what we want. Then will the nations around about us deal directly with us, and we shall live in peace with them.
You shall have to support your king in all his luxury. He will require grievous exactions upon your persons and property. The goodliest and strongest of your men will the king require for his service, as charioteers, horsemen, and runners. They will fill the ranks of the king's personal army. They will till his soil, reap his harvests, and manufacture implements of war for his service.
It will really be our army, for our protection.
And your daughters will be taken for maids and bakers in the royal household. To support his kingly state, he will seize the best of your lands, and the most valuable of your servants, and many of your cattle. You shall be the king's servants. And you shall cry out because of your king, which you shall have chosen, and the Lord will not hear you in that day.
You are a smooth talker, Samuel, your grace. But we are still determined to have a king, that we may be like the other nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles.
Get you up and return every man of you to his own city. You shall have your request. The Lord himself shall choose you a king.
Now there was a man named Kish, a Benjamite, a man of wealth. And Kish had a son, a handsome young man. There was not a man among the people of the children of Israel more handsome than he. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. This noble and dignified young man in the prime of life appeared to be born to command. His name was Saul.
Father, some of our animals are lost.
Lost?
Probably strayed away somewhere upon the mountainside.
I think you'd better take one of the servants and look for them.
Me? Wander around the mountainside looking for animals? Oh, I'm your son, and you're a powerful chief with influence that has all...
Son, no more of that. It is good for a young man, even of noble birth, to engage in the simple and humble duties of whatever work there is to be done.
I'm sorry, Father. I'll make the search for the animals right away.
Sir, I'm tired. Whew, can't we rest a spell?
Tired? So soon?
Yes, Master. You're the strongest of the strong, the tallest of the tall. You tire not, but whew, I'm small and weak.
All right, we will rest. Oh,
thank you, Master. Oh.
While we're resting, we may as well eat a bit.
I'm hungry enough.
All right, here. Here's a piece of bread.
Where are we going next, Master? Lost animals just aren't here.
Well, I was wondering if they might have wandered to Shalisha. It's a good grazing land.
So Saul and the servant went to the land of Shalisha, but they found not the animals.
Perhaps the animals have strayed to Shalim.
Well, if they have, Master, they'll be hard to find. It's a wild, rugged place.
For 2 days, Saul and his servant searched the hills and valleys of an area of some 10 to 20 miles, never getting far away from Gibeah. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant,
I think we'd better go home. We've been gone so long, Father will begin to wonder about us instead of the missing animals. He'll think we're lost.
That's true, Master, but may I be so bold as to make a suggestion?
Sure, go ahead.
Is not that the city of Ramah up there on the hill?
Yes, but you certainly don't expect to find our animals in a city.
Oh, no, Master, but I was thinking of a man of God who lives in that city. He's an honorable man, a prophet, and all that he prophesies surely comes to pass. I suggest, Master, that we go up there and see the man. Perhaps he can show us where our missing animals are.
Well, we would be expected to offer him gifts for such information, wouldn't we?
It is the custom, yes, master.
Well, we don't have anything to give him. Even our bread is gone.
Master, sir, I have here the fourth part of a shekel of silver. We will present it to the seer if he'll show us the way to our lost animals.
Good idea. Come, we will go up and see the man of God, and thanks for the silver. I'll return it to you when we get home. The servant is richer than his master. Whoever built this city certainly knew how to pick a beautiful site. One can see almost all of the surrounding country.
Oh, it is beautiful, master.
This seer we're going to visit, do you happen to know his name? If we... Oh, well, it doesn't make any difference. Here comes a group of the maidens of the city to draw water. They'll know everyone in the city and everything that has happened or is about to happen. Pardon me, please. I understand there lives in your city a seer. Is he home at the present time?
Yes, sir. He just returned today.
Well, do you know where we may find him?
Today's the day of sacrifice in the high place. At this very moment, the people await him, for they will not eat until he is blessed to sacrifice. So if you hurry, you may find him before he goes up to the high place.
Thank you. Come along. Let's hurry.
Yes, master.
So they went to the city. As they were entering the city, they saw Samuel coming out toward them on his way up to the high place.
Pardon me, sir, but I'm looking for the seer who lives here. Tell me, where is the seer's house?
I am the seer. Go up with me to the high place, for you shall eat with me this day. And tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is on your mind.
Thank you kindly, sir, but I came not to eat, but to inquire after my father's lost animals.
Oh, yes, your lost animals. But that was 3 days ago.
Why, yes, 3 days ago. But how did you know?
Worry no more about them, for they are found.
Thank you, sir. And if you will accept this small token of
we must hasten to the high place, for is not the desire of all Israel upon you and on all your father's house?
Me? I'm just a Benjamite, the smallest tribe of Israel, and my family is the least of all the families of Benjamin. Why do you say that the desire of all Israel is upon me and my father's house?
At the proper time it shall be revealed to you. Right now, you and your servant come with me to the high place. The people and the elders await us for the blessing of the food. You and your servant sit here.
But, sir, these are the seats of honor, and my servant
you
and I...
You are being honored this day, Saul, my son. Oh. Sit here, and we shall partake of meat with the 30 elders.
Yes, sir.
If you will excuse me, I must talk to the cook.
Oh, of course, sir. I wonder what this is all about.
You're more popular than you thought, master.
Someone must have mistaken me for someone else.
So Saul and his servant sat and ate with Samuel and the 30 elders. As the elders heard the story of Saul's persistent search for the lost animals, well may they have thought that this tall, strong, and handsome young man might be just the one to deliver Israel from the Philistines. Now when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel invited Saul to his home.
Samuel, sir, may I ask you a question?
I see no reason to deny you that privilege.
Well, today, I mean a while ago, when my servant and I met you near the city gate and inquired of the whereabouts of the seer, you seemed to know who I was and all about me. Also, you... Well, why did you honor us by placing us at the chief places at the table?
Saul, my son, the God I serve... The God you serve is an all-knowing God. He revealeth his secrets to his prophets. It is the same God who delivered our forefathers out of Egyptian bondage. He brought them safely to Canaan. This same God has been Israel's ruler since the day they left Egypt, directing the affairs of Israel through Moses, Joshua, and then prophets and judges. But the people seem to want to do away with the theocratic government and have a king.
A king? You mean Israel, our own people, want a king?
Yes, it's true. With God as our ruler, we were a unique nation, blessed above all other nations. But with a king, we shall be no different than the nations round about us.
Couldn't the king be a true representative of God, like Moses was, and like the prophets and judges, like you are?
Yes, he could, but he won't.
Well, then I should think the people of Israel wouldn't want a king.
But they do.
Who is to choose a king?
God himself shall choose the king of Israel.
God is to choose a king? Well, then I should think the king would be a good king, a true servant, and representative of God, even as Moses was. For God himself chose Moses.
Yes, my son, God did choose Moses, and he has already chosen him a king of Israel. But God in no manner forces anyone. When he chooses leaders, he has to choose from among the men who are available, and then train them, prepare them to faithfully perform the tasks assigned to them. But come, I tire you with an old man's prattlings. You will want to get an early start in the morning. I shall show you and your servant to your quarters.
Master. Master.
Yes?
It's time to get up, Master. You wanted to get an early start, remember?
All right. I'll get up. Samuel, Your Honor, you have been most gracious to us, and we thank you very much. If you are ever in Gibeah, please come to see us.
I certainly shall, Saul, my son. But if you don't mind, I shall go part way with you now, at least to the bottom of the hill outside the city gates.
Honored to have you, Your Grace.
Saul, my son, would you bid your servant to go on ahead a pace? I wish to talk with you alone.
Yes, Your Honor. Will you walk on ahead of us away?
Yes, Master. Farewell, Your Honor.
I wish to show you the Word of God. You have been curious as to how I knew who you were yesterday and why you were honored at the ceremonial feast.
Yes, I was, Your Honor. I still am.
The Lord had told me in a vision that you would appear in Ramah. Then, when I saw you entering through the city gate, the Lord said unto me, Here is the man of whom I spoke to you. He it is who shall rule over my people.
Rule over Israel?
At the command of God, I pour this oil upon your head and anoint you to be captain over God's people. And with this kiss I proclaim and salute you as God's chosen vessel, King of Israel.
King? But Samuel, Your Honor, I am in no manner qualified to be king.
The Spirit of God will be with you and help you to become qualified. Serve the Lord with all your heart, and he shall be with you and bless you always.
As proof that Samuel had done this upon divine authority, he foretold the incidents that would occur on the homeward journey as Saul and his servant approached the border of Zelzah.
Pardon me, sir, but are you not Saul, son of Kish?
I am.
You've been searching for your father's lost animals?
A number of days, yes. Why?
They are found, but your father's worried about you. To the point of giving you up for lost.
Thank you, sir.
I'm most happy to have served you, sir. Farewell.
Farewell.
Did you not say that Samuel the seer foretold this very occurrence?
He did. The thing must be of God.
Farewell, Saul.
Those three men, one carrying three sheep, one three loaves of bread, and the other carrying a bottle of wine. Is this not too in accordance with what Samuel said would happen?
It is. One more thing is to happen. When we come to the hill of God, where the garrison of the Philistines is, I am to meet a company of prophets prophesying. He said, The Spirit of the Lord shall come upon me, and I too shall prophesy.
And all the things that Samuel said would happen came to pass that day. After returning to his home, Saul quietly went about the work of his father's lands, saying nothing to anyone about the secret that Samuel had revealed to him.